9:07. This is the Senate State Affairs Committee. Today's date is February 22nd, 2011. We have three bills before us, all of which have to do with state-issued specialty license plates. We'll hear and hold all three of them today. That's the plan. First is Senate Bill 93, which delegates from the legislature to the Division of Motor Vehicles the authority to approve and issue specialty license plates under certain conditions. The second is Senate Bill 2, which authorizes NRA and breast cancer awareness license plates. And the third is Senate Bill 16, which authorizes Choose Life and pro-family, pro-choice license plates. We'll begin with Senate Bill 93. Here to present the bill is Carla Hart from my staff. Ms. Hart, would you please come forward, state your name and affiliation for the record, and give us an overview of Senate Bill 93.
Thank you. My name is Carla Hart. I'm an aide to Senator Wilikowski, and I will be presenting Senate Bill 93, which creates a specialty license plate administrative approval process. Specialty license plates are sweeping the country. The 26th legislature had a total of 15 committee meetings entailing nine versions of bills and requiring one concurrent resolution on license plates. You have more bills before you today, and there are more in the legislature already at this time. Each license plate request takes legislative attention away from more pressing state matters and creates monetary and state costs of drafting, duplicating, distributing, posting, scheduling, and amending. Legislative created fundraising plates require the Division of Motor Vehicles to track and request for reappropriation small amounts of money. Other plates require the Division of Motor Vehicles to verify a status, such as on HB 92, where the owner must, for Laotian veteran license plates, Lao veteran license plates, the owner must present evidence satisfactory to the department that the owner served in combat as required by this subsection. Two legislatively created license plates from 1998, the Dog Mushing and Arts, have never been issued. By 1998, Alaska legislators were already tiring of reviewing license plates. Then Representative Jerry Saunders asked if the legislature could submit a bill that would let anyone make any kind of plate they want as long as they pay for it. He said, "This gets old." The ease of production of license plates is part of what's created this whole interest in specialty plates and availability. Just as you can get your photo printed on a blanket or a t-shirt or just about anything you want, the technology for printing license plates is really ready and inexpensive at this point. Right now there are thousands of license plate versions across the United States and well over 100 different variations of license plates in Alaska when you take all of the different armed service branches. 24 states in the country have in place an administrative approval process for specialty license plates. Many of the states that have legislative approval require organizations to first apply through the Division of Motor Vehicles and fulfill some requirements before going to the legislature. This bill proposes an administrative approach, and the advantages are that it frees up the legislature for more pressing business, saving time and money in the legislative process. It allows for uniform objective standards to be set by regulation and then applied to all applicants. It saves the administration money with standard implementation and processing. It creates a uniform specialty plate design, which makes it easier for law enforcement to recognize plates. And legislators can refer constituents to the administrative program rather than addressing each request through a legislative bill. And in Pennsylvania, the legislators report that that's been very successful. So Senate Bill 93 gives the Division of Motor Vehicles guidelines for developing the regulations for a specialty plate program and then leaves it up to them to set the specific regulations. This is a little bit... In Pennsylvania, the legislature basically said to their motor vehicles, develop a program, period. This program for Alaska gives some guidelines and limits, so it's still keeping the legislature with some criteria for the program. And the Division of Motor Vehicles Director Whitney Brewster is online, I believe, and has worked with us closely in drafting this legislation and supports it. I'll briefly go over the sectional that's before you. Section 1 allows the Department of Administration to develop and implement regulations to issue the special request plates to Alaska organizations with any IRS 501c tax exempt status. That would allow anything from a foundation to a fraternal order to a sports club to a more traditional 501c3 nonprofit to apply for the license plates. It also allows departments of the state and municipalities. So if Fish and Game wanted to issue a plate on protecting salmon streams, or if Department of Health and Social Services wanted to issue a plate on one of their programs, it directs the administration to design a standard plate design for all specialty plates. And this has been important in seeing other states that having a wide variety of really disparate designs makes it harder for law enforcement to read the plates and to identify whose plates they are. It specifies by regulation that the entity requesting the license plates must submit an application on a form provided by the department, pay a fee that is set by regulation, with the intent being that that fee would address the administrative fees of setting up the new plate and developing the web presence. Submit registration fees for at least 50 motor vehicles before the plates will be issued, and that the plates or the organization may not be offensive in purpose, nature, activity, or name. And Director Brewster has assured me that within their process, she feels comfortable about being able to develop regulations that can address this statutory requirement, and that the organization sponsoring the plate may charge a fee in addition to any registration fees set by statute. Right now, before you, the plate for the National Rifle Association has funds in excess of the amount that goes to Department of Administration, which would be returned to a charity organization that's specified. This bill turns it around and allows the sponsoring organization to collect all of the fees for the plate and then submit onward to the Division of Motor Vehicles the $30 fee that the state will get. The sponsoring organization can collect what fees they want. And in other states, these have been used for charity auctions for the lowest number plates. One place I found, an alumni association is actually paying the registration fee for people who want the plates to get more of their alumni association plates out on the street. So basically, the organization needs to get $30 per person to Division of Motor Vehicles, and they're free to develop whatever policies they want and procedures for how they do that. The regulations also specify that a minimum number of registrations and renewals of specialty plates must be conducted. So if there's a plate that comes into existence, and after some period of time, nobody or only a handful of people have applied for that plate, the Division of Motor Vehicles is able to sunset the plate. It provides for a notification to the entity as well before the plate would be canceled. And then it establishes procedures for vehicle owners to buy the specialty plates. Section 2 sets the fee for the specialty plates at $30 above whatever other licensing fees are required just to own a car. And that fee is the same as has been used by many of the non-fundraising specialty plates that are already in statute. The effective date would be January 1st of 2012, and again, Director Brewster says that that would not be a problem to get the regulations in place by that date.
All right, thank you. And let me just say, as the sponsor of the bill, this is not at all intended to be critical of people introducing the license plate bills. The system that we have right now is people represent their constituents, and you have constituents who want license plates, and this is how our system is set up. Legislators propose bills, and we go through the legislative process. I look at this more as a streamlining bill. I think we all have constituents. I've had constituents in my district who represent car clubs who've wanted license plates, and I just didn't think there would be legislative support for something like that. But I think with a bill like this, we can be a little bit more efficient, and we can also satisfy the needs of our constituents by having them go through an administrative process. You get 50 people to agree to a license plate and anyone gets one. And Carla, have you contacted Pennsylvania, for instance, or other states and asked them how their system is working, whether people like it, whether it's popular?
Yes, I have. I've had a fairly lengthy conversation with the folks in Pennsylvania, and they are really happy with their program. They started out with a requirement that people get 300 plates. Their minimum requirement is now one. So an organization may apply and get one plate. The program has proven to be very cost-effective and easy to administer, and they have not had any difficulty. The program has been in place for quite a few years now, and they said there have only been a couple of instances in that time that have been anything awkwardness in terms of is the organization appropriate or whatever, that their guidelines have allowed for a clear procedure, and it's been working really well, and they are very open to sharing their process and procedure with Alaska.
Okay, thank you. Questions for Ms. Hart? Okay, seeing none. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, is there, we have Whitney Brewster online. Whitney, are you there?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm here.
And I see you're signed up wanting to testify, or are you just available for questions?
Mr. Chairman, I'm simply here for questions.
Okay, and do you have any thoughts on this sort of process? Is this something that you, the administration or your division would support? Do you think it's workable?
For the record, my name is Whitney Brewster. I'm the director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. I think SB 93 will really help streamline the process for the authorization, development, and administration of license plates. We have, as you know, seen a number of license plate bills come through the legislature, and many of them have had great support, and some of them have not. And by support, I mean once the plate is established, there are very few people who actually order the plate. And so I think that this process will assist up front in garnering the support necessary to move through production of a new plate.
And Ms. Brewster, the I see there's a zero fiscal note. You don't believe this will cost anything?
No, Mr. Chairman, I do not believe that this will cost us anything. We'll go through the regulatory process and set up standards, obviously go through the public notice process. But no, I do not believe that this will cost the DMV anything to implement.
Okay. Questions? Senator Passavant.
You know, other than a general discussion of whether the state should be getting into the mobile billboard business at all, what would you consider to be a basis for denial of the deliverance of the message by way of a state mandatory function? You know, you got to have a license plate on your vehicle. How would you deny the delivery of a message?
Through the chair, Senator Pasquin, the DMV does have existing regulations regarding personalized plates and the denial of personalized plates. 2 AAC 92120. And I know that this isn't identical, but we could use this perhaps as a basis for denial of a particular group. Section 4 states, symbols in a combination that demeans an ethnic, religious, or racial group, or that is otherwise vulgar, indecent, or has sexual connotations, any combination known by the department to have a sexual connotation or to be patently offensive to a person or of ordinary sensibilities will be considered vulgar or indecent. Any combination known by the department to be patently offensive to an ethnic, religious, or racial group will be considered demeaning to that group. And in those instances, when we have personalized plates that fit that bill that we did not catch on the front end, we do recall the plate and give that individual the ability to go through the administrative hearing process. We have hearing officers at the DMV. I would imagine that with this particular case, when we deny an organization a license plate, they too could go through that administrative hearing process.
Yes, Senator Pasman.
Would there be the potential, if it was a program administered by the Department of Motor Vehicles, to stop a message if it was distasteful to the majority of the people?
Through the chair, Senator Pascvan, I think if it was patently offensive to the ordinary person, I think that we could go through the administrative hearing process. We would obviously set these standards in regulation, and I would hope that we would have public comment on whatever is developed, the language that is developed through regulation.
Yes, I may. I'm struggling with what would be patently offensive to one may be the core message to another, even if that core message were despised by the vast majority of people. The question is if it's a valid message, even if it is offensive to the majority, should the state be involved in the delivery or the refusal to deliver that message?
Ms. Bruce?
Through the chair, Senator Pascvan, I do not disagree with your statement. I think this is a very difficult topic and one that we struggle with regularly at the DMV when it comes to personalized plates. But I think if we stick to the very strict definition of whether or not it is demeaning to a particular group, specifically a religious, an ethnic group, and has sexual connotations to it, I think that that's a pretty good standard.
Yes.
But in part, what I'm concerned about is that if the state shouldn't have the ability to take a bumper sticker off someone's vehicle, how can we prevent anyone from putting the same message on a license plate? Is there I'm struggling with that.
Through the chair, Senator Pascvan, like I said, we do have a process in place, and there are a number of court cases out there regarding license plates, and essentially it is said if you're going to allow for a license plate to be used and have the ability to personalize it, it is a freedom of speech issue.
Yes, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to follow up a little bit on Senator Pascvan's questions. And certainly, Ms. Brewster, if you could assure me that you're going to be at DMV for the next 100 or 200 years, I would be perfectly fine with this bill, because I have full trust and faith in your judgment, and you've done a very good job there at DMV. The concern is, though, that you're not going to be there all the time, and the next person who may be in your position may have a different opinion on how to define offensive in purpose, nature, activity, or name. And so if we do something like this, and I agree with Senator Wilkowski, and I appreciate him bringing forward this bill, I think it really can streamline this whole process. If we could maybe now do the same with boards and commissions, we could probably go down to 60-day sessions. I think in order for this to work so that people are comfortable with the one person, which would be you, the one bureaucrat who really doesn't represent the people of Alaska like each one of us are doing down here. I mean, you're working for the state of Alaska, but you're working for the governor, essentially. In order for, I think, myself to be totally comfortable with this, I think we'd have to have really tight regulations in place that would assure me then that whoever's making the judgment call on what's offensive in purpose, nature, activity, or name, it is consistent. Now, It does make me feel a little bit better knowing that if someone is denied, that they can request administrative hearing. And maybe you could explain that process to me. Is that something that's allowed to anyone who is denied a license plate? And who makes up the administrative hearing process?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, the DMV has three administrative hearing officers at the DMV, and they hear a number of issues from DUI revocations to, like I said earlier, personalized plate revocations. Just to explain the process a little bit, the DMV does have software that exists that will weed out many of the offensive plates and make them unavailable to Alaskans. However, there are some very creative Alaskans out there that come up with the combinations that essentially beat the software, and they slip through the cracks. When we are notified from a member of the public, from law enforcement, from a school administrator about an offensive plate, we then look at the plate. We look very closely at the plate against the current regulations, and if it is determined that those regulations indeed, or that the plate is in violation of the regulation, we will inform that individual through certified mail that we intend to revoke the license plate in a particular time frame. And then at that time, give them the information on requesting an administrative hearing, if that is their choice. We do also let them know that they can change their plate free of charge to a different combination of letters and numbers. If the individual chooses to go through the administrative hearing process, they come into the DMV or they participate via teleconference with a hearing officer. The hearing officer looks at the case and then makes the determination based on the regulations and existing court cases in Alaska.
Okay, and then you might have mentioned this, Mr. Chairman. Who pays for this administrative hearing?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, that is part of the DMV's operations. There is no charge to the individual.
So would that be an added cost to you then if we put this responsibility solely on you for all the license plates?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, I do not foresee an enormous bump in our administrative hearing process. Like Ms. Hart indicated, in Pennsylvania, they've only had a couple within the existence of their the entire existence of their program that seemed to warrant a possible denial. I just don't see a sufficient bump in the administrative hearings that would require additional funds for the DMV.
Okay, and Mr. Chairman, if I may?
Yes, please.
And I maybe should ask this question for the bill sponsor. But the bill says that before a registration plate will be issued, that there must be registration fees for at least 50 motor vehicles. How would that work? Would that be 50 people who own vehicles all coming in at the same time registering their car and saying, and by the way, we want these new license plates? Or actually, I suppose it could be one person who has 50 cars coming in. How would that process work?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, I would imagine that they would be collected all by the organization before, and then they would be submitted with the application. That is something that we would need to look at in regulation, but that is my understanding of how it operates in other states.
Okay. And, Mr. Chairman, I have looked as well at how other states do it, and it does seem to be kind of mixed. Some states still do it through the legislative process, and then some do it through the administrative process. And so I think it just boils down to, what we're the most comfortable with. If we want this decision done by one person, and I certainly can see a lot of benefits to having it streamlined through one person, or if we want it done through the elected officials representing the various people throughout the state. So I appreciate you bringing this forward, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. Other questions? Ms. Brewster, I have a question for you on the court cases. And my understanding is that roughly half the states in the country have a system like this where it's a specialized place to run through DMV. Is that your understanding?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a fairly well-established body of case law in those states that deals with what is an offensive license plate, do you know?
Mr. Chairman, I think it has been consistent that if the courts have stated that if you are going to allow license plates, essentially with the input of the public, that it is in a sense a billboard for that person or that organization. Yes, there is a substantial body of decisions out there that would give our hearing officers direction on how to proceed with the approval or denial should it go through the administrative hearing process.
Okay, thank you. Other questions for Ms. Brewster? Okay, seeing none. Anything else, Ms. Brewster?
No, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to answer any questions that the committee has.
Okay, thank you. Are you planning on holding on through this bill and the other bills?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'll be online.
Great, thank you. Do we have other let's see. I think we've got Jim Cribben. Are you signed up for this bill, Senate Bill 93, Mr. Cribben? I don't see anyone else signed up for this bill. Okay. Is there anyone in the room wanting to testify on Senate Bill 93? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public testimony on Senate Bill 93. And we will – any final questions for Ms. Hart? Okay, we'll set that bill aside. We'll move on to Senate Bill 2, sponsored by Senator Menard. This bill will authorize National Rifle Association and Breast Cancer Awareness Specialty License Plates. Welcome to the committee, Senator and Mr. Avito. I note that we have a CS in front of us. It is version D. And do I have a motion to adopt version D as our working document?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move that we bring the CS for Senate Bill 2 /D version before this committee for purposes of discussion.
Okay, and I will object for discussion purposes. And Senator, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Senator Linda Menard, and I represent District G. And I'd like to thank everybody for allowing me to come forward in presenting this committee substitute to Senate Bill 2. With that, I'll just go ahead and state openly that I am a lifetime member of the NRA, and for some time I have thought of why don't we in the state of Alaska have NRA license plates, as well as the representative from the House District 26 approached me and asked if I would include the breast cancer awareness license plate, and so I did agree to that. So the committee substitute for Senate Bill 2 will create two new optional license plates that motorists can purchase for an additional fee. The plates are a National Rifle Association commemorative license plate and a breast cancer awareness license plate. Mr. Chair, both these plates are ideas that came from our constituents. They came seeking an avenue to get them into law. The NRA license plates will cost $50 in addition to the typical registration fee. A $30 fee will be collected every 2 years in addition to the normal registration fees to keep the license plates. For the NRA plates, money left over after the cost of issuing the special request plates are paid may be appropriated by the legislature to maintain a scholastic clay target program or for other youth shooting programs. The breast cancer awareness plates are an additional one-time $50 fee on top of the usual registration fees. Mr. Chair, laws like these are of interest to our constituency. Each one of us knows someone who has had an interest in gun safety and providing youth with the opportunity to explore hobbying and the hobby of shooting. And I can just share with you that my husband took this on with our grandchildren just recently, and it's a very important part of living to Alaska if you are, in fact, carrying guns and are interested in shooting and providing for your family. At the same time, many of us have known someone that's been affected by breast cancer. These license plates may not be weighty issues, Mr. Chair, but to some they mean a lot. I ask the committee to move this CS out quickly so we can pass these bills.
Thank you, Senator Menard.
And there's no fiscal note.
Thank you. Mr. Rivito, did you have anything you want to add?
Mr. Michael Rivito, for the record, staff of Senator Menard. I was here basically for questions and to support the senator. Just wanted to add that, you know, 26 states do have breast cancer awareness plates, and they're typically the pink ribbon design that you see. In terms of the NRA license plates, currently, well, Tennessee was the most recent to pass them into law, and Idaho, Mississippi, North Carolina, Oklahoma, and Virginia have them. Arizona, Indiana, and Pennsylvania are considering.
Thank you. Just on the price of the license plates, I note the price is $50, whereas I've seen the price in other bills is $30. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, the Scholastic Clay Targeting Program that has been very effective in the Valley is desperately, like anything you try to put together, in need of funds. So we thought this is a reasonable amount to charge because it does go for safety for these youth programs. You want youth to understand how to operate a gun correctly, and so these monies will be directly appropriated to those programs. Okay. And I appreciate that Senator Huggins is a co-sponsor, as well as two of your committee people here, Senator Meyer and Senator Giesel. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions for the bill sponsor? Okay, seeing none. Ms. Brewster, are you on the line?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'm available for questions.
Any questions for Ms. Brewster? Okay. If you could just talk for a minute about and put yourself on the record and then talk about how your department administers these type of bills when we have an excess cost going to specific programs. Can you just talk a little bit about that, Ms. Brewster?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Whitney Brewster. I'm the director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. When we have specialty license plates that are fundraiser, we do account for those funds separately for appropriation by the legislature. However, for dealing with plates in excess of our costs, I can state that it costs the DMV approximately $10 per set, plus shipping charges. So anything above and beyond that is reported to the Division of Finance, and essentially those funds go into the general fund.
Okay. Other questions for Ms. Brewster? Okay, seeing none, thank you for your testimony. We have, looks like Neil Moss wanting to testify online. Are you there, Mr. Moss?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the committee. If you could put yourself on the record and give us your testimony.
Well, my name is Neil Moss. I live up in Wasilla. I am the state director for Alaska for the SCTP program. That's a Scholastic Clay Target Program. And I guess this was kind of my idea to get this NRA license plate on board. Alaska has more NRA members per capita than any other state in the union. And as state director for SCTP, not to mention 4-H and Boy Scouts and all the other activities that I do with youth and shooting, youth sports, shooting sports are always in search of money for funds, targets, excuse me, shells, firearms, safety literature, you name it. I mean, we're always scrounging around trying to find some funds to pay for something. And this bill and this NRA license plate bill is a great fundraiser. I think it's very successful down in Tennessee. They do the same thing. They collect money for the Scholastic Clay Target Program in Tennessee. And I don't have the exact numbers, but I have spoken with the director of the program down there, and they're very happy with the success of the program. And SCTP Alaska, or actually it's Alaska SCTP, is a nonprofit corporation. We're 501c3. And I just want to go on record saying that the money is not strictly for the Scholastic Clay Target Program. That's just what we had to title the corporation. But the funds would be available to any youth shooting org in the state of Alaska. And if it goes through me, then that money would be appropriated through our board of directors. I mean, I'm not sure how the state wants to do this as far as distributing the funds. But, you know, I'm quite aware of pretty much all of the state programs as far as 22s. I teach hunter education, shotgun shooting. SCTP is primarily a shotgun sport, but the goal there is to teach teamwork, gun safety, responsibility, everything that goes along with safely handling a firearm and being a competitive team member. So I'd just like to go on record as saying I'm all for this program. Again, it was kind of my idea to start it, but I just want to go on record as saying that the people I've talked to, I have a lot of support for this bill. I'm available for questions also, but that's about all I have to say right now.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Moss. Are there questions? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. And let the record reflect that Senator Kukesh has joined us. Okay, I don't see anyone else online wanting to testify on this bill. No. Is there anyone else in the room wanting to testify on this bill? Seeing none, we'll close public testimony. Question for the bill sponsor on the portion, the breast cancer awareness plates. Do the proponents want to see the excess funds go into the general fund, or is there a desire to see the excess funds go anywhere in particular?
I believe they did not come forth with where they wanted their appropriations to go, so I would think it would just be the general fund.
Okay.
But, of course, we all know they're a 501c3 as well.
Great. Any other questions?
American Cancer under the umbrella of the American Cancer Society.
Other questions for the bill sponsor? Okay, seeing none, we'll set this bill aside. Thank you, Senator Menard. Okay, next up we have Senate Bill 16. And this bill is sponsored by Senator Meyer. We have a CS that's been prepared by my office. And can I get a motion to adopt that just for discussion purposes? /D.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I would move that we bring the CS for Senate Bill 16 version /D before this committee.
Is there, I'll object for discussion purposes. Can I get my staff, Michelle Seideman, to present the changes on that? If you could put yourself on the record, welcome to the committee.
Hi, my name is Michelle Seideman. I'm staff to Senator Bill Wilikowski. Chair Wilikowski and members of the committee, there really is just one difference between the CS and the original version of the bill, and that is the inclusion of a pro-family, pro-choice license plate. You see that in Section 1, subsection CC on page 1. And then on page 2, there's the addition under Section 2 of subsection 21, which establishes where those funds will go for the pro-family, pro-choice license plate. So that's really the only difference between the original bill and this version.
Okay, thank you. Questions for Ms. Seideman? Okay, seeing none. Christine, do you... have any additional comments you wish to make, or Senator Meyer, do you have comments you want to make?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Chairman, our comments are geared, of course, to the original bill, which is the bill that we introduced. Certainly understand the reason for the CS and the compromise which we've discussed. But my comments will be pretty much to the original bill, and then my trusty staff here, Christine Marsagan, will answer any questions. But for the record, I am Kevin Meyer, and I represent Senate District O. And we are here to present Senate Bill 16 for your consideration. This would allow Alaska drivers to purchase another specialty license plate that has the message to choose life. And I do appreciate you taking up this bill, Mr. Chairman. And I know we have a lot of license plate bills, and that's why I think the bill you came up with earlier is probably the solution to this. But nonetheless, we're taking a little different approach on ours. We do not want to use this as a fundraiser and do not anticipate any additional revenue. We want this only to cover the costs for the DMV director and the state of Alaska. So we're anticipating that, again, based on what Ms. Brewster told us, to be an additional $30 for this particular plate. 26 other states have Choose Life license plates, and there's a considerable amount of other states in the process similar to us. So this is not a new idea, but it was brought to my attention by a fairly large group of constituents. And again, that's why we're here. We are here to represent our constituents. And I personally like the idea, and that's why I agreed to bring it forward. My family, my wife and I adopted a child, and so I see this as a very pro-adoption message, and we've had pro-adoption services in support of this. Obviously, it's got a very strong pro-life message, but also folks have told me with the suicide prevention that they like it too, because it has a positive message of choosing life. So basically, it can mean whatever you want it to mean, or whoever's buying the license plate. As I mentioned, we do not want to use this as a fundraiser, nor is it an intended, and we do have people online available who are more familiar with the license plate than I am, who can answer any questions. And then, of course, Christine Marsagan is here as well if there's any questions about the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. Questions for the bill sponsor? Okay, seeing none. We do have Whitney Brewster again online for questions. Are you there, Ms. Brewster?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Whitney Brewster, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles, and I'm happy to answer any questions that the committee may have.
Any questions for Ms. Brewster? I think you're off easy on this one. Okay, next up we have Jeff Mittman on the off-nets. Jeff, are you there?
I am, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Jeffrey Mittman. I'm the executive director of the ACLU of Alaska. And in brief, we submitted written testimony that essentially raised the issues that were really covered in the other bills, and that is that license plates, because they are issued by the government but represent speech of the individual driver, do, of course, raise significant First Amendment free speech issues. I think the prior bill, Senate Bill 93, covers the issue more generally in that it allows for a neutral process for any organization to submit a message. As the questions of Senator Baskvan raised, you still have potential concerns raised as to how a message is approved or what could constitute a quote-unquote offensive message. Clearly, the committee substitute version D addresses a significant concern that we would have had with SB 16 as originally authored. But again, it's not that this ability to issue plates is one that the state doesn't have. Clearly it does. It's that the process needs to be viewpoint neutral. And with that, I would take any questions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mittman. Any questions? Okay, seeing none. Next, we have Russ Amerling. Russ, are you there?
I am, yes, sir.
Welcome to the committee. You can put yourself on the record.
Thank you. My name is Russ Amerling. I'm the National Publicity Coordinator for the Choose Life License Plate.
Welcome to the committee. Give us your testimony, please.
I wanted to let you folks know partly of what Senator Meyer has already told you, that there are 26 plates that have been approved in the United States. 24 of them are currently on the road, and the other two are in the process of pre-selling the requisite number of plates. The license plate in all the other states is a fundraiser and has raised money. $13.6 million have been raised to support the efforts of adoption in those states where the plate's been approved. I was not aware from what Senator Meyer had just said until I reread the bill here that this was not going to be a fundraiser. I thought there would be some excess funds. But irrespective of that, the message that we try to get out with the Choose Life license plate is a message of life to try and encourage people to celebrate life, those women with unplanned or unwanted pregnancies to see the benefit of life and making an adoption plan for their children. And that's basically what the Choose Life license plate vision is, and that's what we've been trying to accomplish for the last 13 years in these states that we've been working in.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there questions? I see none. Thank you, Mr. Amerling. Next up, we have Jim Minnery. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Minnery. Please put yourself on the record and give us your testimony.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, other members of the State Affairs Committee. My name is Jim Minnery, and I represent the Alaska Family Council, a pro-family, pro-life public policy organization representing thousands of Alaskans across the state. As you've heard, Choose Life license plates have been adopted in 26 states to promote and facilitate and encourage adoption as a positive choice for women with unplanned pregnancies. And there are countless stories across our state of those whose lives have been positively impacted by adoption. And in our view, giving citizens the option of obtaining a license plate that celebrates this choice is commendable. SB 16 has the full support of the Alaska Family Council and those that we represent across the state, and we encourage passage in the strongest terms. I thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Minnery. I see no questions. Let's move to Anchorage, where we have two people signed up. Mr. Mike Paulson, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome to the committee. If you could put yourself on the record and give us your testimony.
Yeah, Mike Paulson. I'm chairman of Choose Life Alaska, and we're here primarily to answer questions involved with this bill.
I don't see any questions. Do you have no other testimony then?
Are the committee members going to testify?
Yes. Okay. Sir, my name is Kelly Foreman. I'm also with Choose Life Alaska. I'm the second.
Welcome to the committee. Please give us your testimony. Kelly Foreman, are you there?
Sorry, my mute button went off.
Okay, that's okay. If you could give us your testimony.
Yes, there's been discussion about Choose Life license plates in Alaska for over the past 2 years. Mike and I came on last February to try to make sure that we could move this through a session, and we found sponsors. We've already had our plate designed according to Alaska Division of Motor Vehicle specifications. It's been a joy to work with Russ Emmerling, and we just encourage the passage of this bill. The one comment that I do have is in the committee substitute, I see that there was another license plate added to this. And I would just ask that, you know, that they are able to go through the same preliminary process that we went through to do our plates, to do the draft and have the plate designed and to have a committee. And I would just ask that that would be considered, that they would need to do the same thing.
Thank you for your testimony. Okay. Anyone else online wanting to testify? Okay, I see none. We've got a few people in the room here. Let's start out. Katie Chapman, are you just here? Are you here to testify, or just to listen? Okay, thank you. Next up, we have Bob Head up there. Bob, welcome to the committee. Please put yourself on the record and give us your testimony.
Yes, my name is Bob Head. I'm a Juneau resident of some 35 years. I also am privileged to be a director of American Family Association of Alaska, and speaking both from the standpoint of AFA and my own personal experiences, and that's really the biggest impact in my personal life on this issue. I've had the privilege of raising an adopted son who grew to be an Eagle Scout, was awarded his Eagle Award by our wonderful President, Governor Hammond some years ago, has gone on to be a research scientist working in genetic engineering, and is now working on the biofuel projects down in Arizona. That's a mine that would have been wasted had the adoption not been available to him. On the other side of that coin, my wife and I both work as chaplains at the local halfway house, and we have had many occasions to work with both young men and young women who have been the parent or tentative parent of a child who was aborted. And it's hard to say whether it's more difficult for the young ladies involved that were not properly counseled or the young men that were involved and really had no choice. So from both standpoints, the negative and the positive, I see this education in the Choose Life project as being a tremendous thing, and we're certainly 100% for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Questions? Seeing none. Sid Heidersdorf. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Sid Heidersdorf. I'm a Juneau resident. I support Senate Bill 16, which would make available the Choose Life plates. It certainly is good public policy to promote a culture of life, which is good for our society. And It's difficult to imagine circumstances which would lead to the opposition of this admonition, Choose Life, but certainly some of that does exist. And I think it's the result, of course, of our abortion mentality, which exists in our society today. And my comments really were based primarily on the specific issue of Choose Life plates, and not, I see the committee substitute that includes the Planned Parenthood type amendment to it. I trust and hope that the committee will in fact support the idea the affirmation and celebration of life, which is certainly something which we can use today in our society and promoting a culture of life. So I hope you give favorable consideration to Senate Bill 16.
Thank you for your testimony. Last witness we have is Karen Robinson. Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Karen Robinson, and I'm here today representing both the Alaska Women's Lobby and also Alaska Planned Parenthood of the Greater Northwest. And we just want to go on record in saying that we support the committee substitute. We appreciate both the sponsor, Senator Myers, and also the chair of the committee, Wilikowski, and their staff in helping us try to come up with appropriate language, and believe that we pretty much have got there. I'm still a little confused on whether or not this will actually generate any dollars, and obviously we're in support of anything that can assist people to make good choices and choices of putting their children up for adoption. I'm just not so sure which agency it would go to if there is dollars, and just an idea that I kind of came up with last night was the possibility of if there is any additional dollars that it would go to the Children's Trust. It's an organization that's been in place for a long time. They also have a license plates, the kids' license plates, and so it might already be in place for the motor vehicle division, be easier for the money to go maybe in that direction. Again, have no problem with it going to adoption services. I just don't know. I mean, Planned Parenthood also does referrals and information for adoption. You also have your pregnancy crisis centers who do the same. And so I just don't know who would make that decision if there were some dollars. And I think it would be great if there was a way to generate dollars for that cause. So thank you for your time, and any questions, I'm willing to answer.
Karen, thank you for your testimony. Questions? Seeing none. Okay. Is there anyone else in the room wanting to testify? Okay, I don't see anyone. We'll close public testimony. Any committee discussion at this point? Okay, seeing none. With that, we're adjourned.